And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 823. We're going to talk, we're taking a break from the teams for an episode. We're going to talk some projections. Since we last did projections, Oopsie has come out, ATC has come out, but we're talking the Bad X, Oopsie, Depth Chart slash Steamer on different topics right now. We're going to compare things, exercise we did last year. In order to help me with this exercise, because he's the brains behind the sheets, behind how we break this down, just big brains in general. My co-host is back. You can find him on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Ben Tid, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing well, Bubba. Yeah, I have a pretty big head, so hopefully it's filled with something in there. Maybe rocks, yeah. I don't know.
I have a big head, and it sure ain't brains, so.
No, give yourself more credit than that.
But you, like, literally, I witnessed, I didn't, like, watch your screen, but I saw you change our spreadsheet literally like 5 minutes in front of me. So yeah, I obviously, maybe with practice I would know, but just off the top of my head, wouldn't even know what button to start with. Let's put it that way. So yeah, so it's good stuff.
How it wasn't too complicated, just a couple of manual steps I had to do.
It's not too complicated. Listen to this guy. So how you been? It's been about a week or so since you've been on the show. Things good?
Yeah, I'm almost done with my DCs. Mm-hmm. Feels like weird. I was just saying how I was starting them.
Yeah, we're in quite the DC we're all in together right now.
Yeah, you and Ryan were talking about that on your show on Tuesday. And so I had just come out of a Mike the Mouth fast DC over the weekend, which literally started 5 o'clock Friday night and ended like 9 o'clock Sunday night. It was incredible. And so I was used to that pace, and this has kind of been not quite that pace, but it's better than normal DC. So I'm enjoying how quickly it's going.
That's good. Yeah, it's going very fast. It's very nice because I'm in another draft that started yesterday, and it's like just dragging and dragging. It's going to be a long one. It's the best way I could say it. So it's going to be nice to keep rolling through this one. It took a little slowdown today on a Wednesday, but we're moving right along. Hope everything else is going well up in the Northeast for you guys. But we're gonna talk some fantasy baseball here. We're going to talk projections, Ben. This is something we've done each and every year. Well, the last couple, I guess last year was our first year doing this, I say. It's just everything flows together. But earlier we looked at how, you know, projections fared in general. We've done that review with pitchers and hitters. Now projections are coming out hot and heavy. I think we pretty much have all of them now. All these are all free projections, by the way. We're not throwing in other projections that we could probably get to, but it's not fair to the system. So, Ben, I'll let you open things up. We're going to see how each one did. Like three of them did in like a specific categories, like how we should utilize them potentially. Because the biggest thing is everybody likes to use aggregators. That's the big take home message. Everyone likes to mix and match. And some people say, well, what percentage of this to this to this, all these things. And I'll let you run with as much of this as you want, because you're very sharp with this. You do your own stuff. That's why we use a lot of that stuff throughout the shows. So the first thing we're going to discuss is kind of like the pros and cons of the three in theory. So, like, when you looked at this, what stood out to you, I guess?
Yeah, well, I guess this started from a request in Ryan's Discord. Just one of the patrons asked for like a detailed review of, because we talk about the projection so often, whether it's this show or when you and Ryan do your previews and your reviews. Ryan's got the Bloom board up with the different various stats based on whatever projection he wants to use. So we're always discussing projections, and it makes sense to you want to go back and look and see how you do. Cause I always say this too, like when it comes to like our shows in October, November, like I still kind of want to look back on the previous season before I move ahead to the next one too quickly, just to like do a little analysis, figure out, okay, how did players really do, stuff like that. And so what I ended up doing was for my aggregate of projections, cause I had these available, cause I saved them off for my personal use, was I used Steamer last year, the Bad X, and ATC. I just did a straight average of the three systems last year. So I had those readily available to see how they actually compare to the actual stats. And what we're looking at is a little brief summary table. When we've done other review shows, I think when we were looking at the player the player projections individually at the end of the season, I used MAE, which is mean absolute error. For the systems this time, I decided to use MAPE, so it's percent error. That's what the P means. So essentially, it's the actual stat minus the projection divided by the actual, and there's the absolute value. So if you're over by 5 runs and under by 5 runs, it's the same percent difference, assuming that what I mean to say is, like, if you were above five runs for like Bobby Witt Jr. or if you're below five runs, it's the same percentage because his actual stats are the same. It's just the projection was either higher by five, lower by five. Doesn't matter. That's what I'm trying to say there. So I broke it out by the five hitting categories. So we have runs, home runs, RBI, steals, average. I also did weighted average just to see out of curiosity. And then I averaged the five primary stats together, the MAPEs across the different systems for all the players. And I also filtered out by players. This is what I like to do whenever I do my Z-scores or just reviews is I filter out the players that only had 300 plus at bats. And because if someone got hurt, it's going to affect the three systems equally, but I figured I'd just keep it amongst players that were projected for 300 plus at bats and also hit 300 plus at bats. And it's a pretty good sample size. It was like around 200 players total across the three systems that met that criteria. So pretty good sample size. So that was a lot.
It's good because, yeah, just to bring people back, it's the episodes we do pretty close to after the season ends where we're trying to still kind of focus on the previous season before we get after it. And we mentioned it then, like Ben makes a point, like you just said, let's take out the 350 less at-bats. There's a couple of factors we take out to like give the projections at least a bit of the doubt because most of them, they might bake in like platoon situations, but to bake in, we take out, for instance, not even just an injury, like you take out Nick Kurtz because, of course, Nick Kurtz is going to bust out in this because he started in the minors and like most projection systems don't have him playing 120 games or whatever he played. Like, that just wasn't right. happening. So it goes in both sides. There's the injury side of it, but there's also, like, this guy got promoted and just burst onto the scene and, like, blew every projection. So a lot of the outliers are either injuries or prospects is what I'm trying to say. So most of them would be taken off the map, and then we'd have, like, your standards. Like, you know, your Michael Harris's would still be stuck there. Your, you know, Aaron Nola's would still be stuck there. Stuff like that makes things a little – you know, more good or bad, I guess, depends on if you're a fan or not of the two. So, but I think it's very interesting. And you mentioned it's been a question in our Discord. I know other people have to be talking about it. We're just in our little hive mind, it feels like. But you look at projections and everyone that comes out, it's like, okay, so what are they factoring into? Like, we know ATC is kind of a mix and max of things and then an aerial special sauce. Oopsie's a whole new deal, but we know he utilizes a lot of stat gas with bat speed and some other things, but then how does X, Y, and Z still line up? So on and so forth. We know Derek uses the bad X uses Statcast, but to what levels? Like he uses park factors. So a lot of different things, and a lot of them are very similar. Then they have their tweaks, as you mentioned. So it's good to see how they differentiate because I mentioned the aggregator earlier. A lot of people want to know, like, hey, how do I weight this? Is what it comes down to. Which one should I, if I'm trying to build the perfect, you know, Frankenstein? How should I weight these things? And is there ever a perfect answer? No. But Ben, when we're looking at this form, I'll let you run down the chart that you and I are looking at here. Like what stands out to you, I guess, when you're looking at it? Because some of them are actually, I know they're color coded differently because there's always a winner and a loser in these, but in some categories, and maybe I'm wrong, so I don't know statistics as well as you do, but some of them aren't that far off is what I'm trying to say.
Right. In general, they're all pretty close for the most part, within like a percentage amongst the highest and the lowest. Depending on the stats, sometimes it's like within two percentage points. So in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big difference. But if we're trying to split hairs here and figure out, okay, what's the most accurate system or aggregation of systems, then it kind of matters a little bit because we're trying to be as perfect as possible when it comes to predicting what's going to happen with our projections. So I guess, so as a reminder, we're going to cover Steamer, the Bad X, ATC, and the aggregate of all three. I did not do like a mix and match of the other ones. I was just trying to keep it simple. But when it came to runs in 2025, the best was all three averaged together. It had the lowest mean absolute percent error of just under 21%. The worst was Bad X. It was almost 22%. It was 21.8. And then, it's not the same pattern across the different stats either, which is interesting. And I think this is what Ariel tries to do when he does his ATC, which is he tries to look back on previous seasons and figure out, okay, which systems were better with certain stats, weigh them more. And then I have a theory for why ATC performed the way it did, and I'll wait till the end before I say that. So when it came to runs, aggregating those three together was actually the best way to go about doing it. It was the most accurate projection. When it comes to homers, same deal. All three average together was most accurate. It had a 36.7% MAPE, whereas the next best was actually this time Steamer. It was just below 37%. And the worst actually was the Bad X. They were 38.11%. And then ATC has kind of been in the middle so far for the first two. So that's 2 points for all three averaged together. And then when RBIs, we're looking at RBIs, Steamer was actually the best. It had a 23.8% MAPE, whereas the worst is basically the Bad X and ATC were basically tied for the worst amongst the four different ways we're looking at it. And all three was actually second best. So it seems like all three averaged together is still the way to go. And then we go to steals. All three had the lowest MAPE. It was 77%, which is very high, but I think steals are very fickle. Because look at Juan Soto and Josh Naylor. They're getting projected for very few steals, and then they're going out and stealing 20 and almost 40 respectively. So it's very intent driven. And so it's very interesting to see the different percent variations across the stats. So all three was the most accurate for steals. And then ATC was actually the worst. So ATC's been tied for worse and then worse when it comes to steals. They were 79%, whereas all three was 77%. So more than 2 percentage points difference. And then for average, the Bad X was slightly better than all three, but by less than like a tenth of a percent. So Bad X and all three tied for best with average. The worst was actually Steamer. And just as a side note, when you do the weighted average, Steamer is actually the best. So when you do straight average, it's like just looking at 280 versus 281, or you do the weighted average where you factor in the number of at-bats that actually occur or the player actually accumulated, Steamer is actually better that way. And I believe you listened to the Launch Angle pod where Jordan Rosenblum was on, who does he creates Oopsie. And one of the things he said is that Steamers actually really good with their playing time. So the fact that their weighted average, which is dependent on at-bats, is they were the most accurate, it actually makes sense to me that this is what actually happened last year. Yeah. And then here we are critiquing Steamer for having their little playing time. And that's why I originally used Steamer when we're going to do the next exercise, but then I ended up changing it. That's what Bubba was referring to at the start of the show. Just it kind of made the numbers wonky. So Steamer was very good with projecting the weighted average, but they were really bad with actual average. So that could be kind of hard to grasp. For a second.
No, and to be fair, it's since we first talked Steamer till today, they have fixed a lot of their playing time issues, but there's still a handful left. So, like the numbers you're using to see how these presented, I'm guessing, is the end of season, end of preseason projections. So they have time to tweak it. Like, I have a hunch that by March, Steamer might be a lot more in line with closer to what we're expecting. Let's put it that way.
There's a good chance too. Yep. And then so the last thing to cover is when you average all five stats, I omitted the weighted average percent across the four stats. So, and if you're listening, no surprise, all three averaged together had the lowest overall percent error of 33.21% across all categories and all players. The next best was Steamer. They were 33.54%. Then the Bad X was 33.98%. And I was surprised to see this, but ATC actually had the worst overall MAPE. They were over 34%, 34.06. And I think, so I kind of mentioned earlier that I have an idea why that's the case. And it's based on what I've heard Ariel say about how he goes about making ATC. And he kind of looks at the previous seasons to see how the different systems performed. And he adds weights based on different categories and systems. But by doing that, he's kind of like forecasting the projections, because I'm sure, like Jordan, for example, with Oopsie, he's going back at the end of the year and he's reviewing how his projections performed and he's making adjustments. So it's not like a static model that is going back into 2026 now based on what happened in 2025 for Oopsie. He's changing things. So if Ariel's going off of what happened in the past and then Jordan's changing something, it's not going to capture that change that Jordan or Derek Hardy for the Bad and Bad X, and I forget who does Steamer, but whatever changes they're making, it's not getting captured by ATC. So it's almost like he's like redoing a look back where he's not really projecting completely going forward. That's my hunch. Hopefully that made sense, but I don't know. That's why I think ATC performed the worst, because of what he does. You think it would be the most accurate, but if things are changing behind the scenes where he's looking at previous data, who knows? Mm-hmm. Like, I could see how that could increase the errors.
Yeah, like you said, who knows? We don't know the answer to that, but like, just but to look at a grid like this, and you've checked these grids, not just this season. You've done this. Like, we did the same exercise last year, actually, and looked at these. And to your point, like these other systems, they're seeing what went wrong. What do they need to tweak? You know, using data of like a ballparks are changing in the event of like a bad X or some others, and they're tweaking their deal. So to Ariel's point, like as those guys are tweaking what went wrong or right the year before, he's using a lot of their new projections than his tweak, which could be, the way I'm understanding it, could be the wrong tweak. I know I keep saying the same word, it makes no sense, but
it's an adjustment.
Yeah. So like he's like they're adjusting for what went and they're moving to the future, where he's adjusting what went last year and he's not moving with them to the future, is what it kind of, because that's how he builds his system. It's the way
or he's double or it's double accounted for, maybe.
Yeah, that too. So that's the thing, is we just don't know. We don't know what he does. It usually does very, very well. It is interesting to see it right out this way on this grass. But I think the biggest takeaway for me, and obviously you can mix and match different projections to see what suits you the best, and if you like pay for a source, you could do that as well. But in the end, it just seems like the aggregation is the way to go. Like, just period. Because yeah, even in the RBIs and the weighted average, which, you know, Steamer beat them in both of them, they were still like second best. So it wasn't like they were getting, like they weren't just bad. Like they were close. And the other ones, they won every other category on this page. And so I'm guessing the aggregation, you're just doing an even third, like just mixing them together essentially. So like, right, I just bring that up because again, it's a big talking point in the Bubba and the Bloom Discord. And I'm assuming other places, we're not alone on this, but everyone's talking about, you know, projection ag. Like Ryan built a projection aggregator as part of the Patreon. Like you can play with that. He's got like five projections in there. He's got most of them in there. You can get like, you can be smart like Ryan and Ben and build your own systems. You can go get like Tanner Bell's aggregator, and you can mix and match what you want. You can mix and match percentages, whatever you want. But basically what I'm just going to take home here, if you're not a statistical genius like myself and you're still following along here, because trust me, we're going to talk players in a minute, it's going to change completely. That if you just literally just put it into the machine and go, hey, I want these three, aggregate them. Like, you don't even have to like play with numbers, just make it happen. They come out pretty good. that's the take home for me, because I think everybody that knows me, either by listening or knows my fantasy concepts, I like to keep it simple, stupid method. Like I've totally embraced a lot of the new stuff compared to when I first started. Like I'm on board with all this. I use the projections. All this is great. But like I said, I'm not creating anything. So if I can just click a button and say, put these three in, and it comes out this good, I'm not going to mess with a good thing. Like, so we're just going to roll with that. That's my biggest takeaway. Obviously, if you have the ability to do things like Ben and others, you can play with it and make it yourself. Like if you go to an NFBC thing, like Ben goes to New York, I go to Vegas, there's a lot of geniuses in those rooms. Like they all have their computers, they all have their spreadsheets, and it's pretty wild what takes place in those rooms. And I'm just like, I remember last year Ryan's all into it, of course, because that's who he is. But I'm just like, where's the beer? So it's kind of how it went down. But anything else on this one, Ben, before we start talking players? Because I can just talk gibberish all night, but I do think it's interesting, because that's always been one of my biggest questions. Is like, A, we always want to know how valid are these projections, and you really don't know until the season's over. Like, that's just the reality. But B, like I said, is everyone's aggregating now. So how should we? And if it's as simple as just, hey, if you want a pretty good result, just put the three together. So,
yep.
All right. Let's get to players, Ben. Let's do it. It's this is always one of my favorite exercises, because it, if you're not aggregating and you just go to like a Fangraphs page, and obviously we're using free projections, and on this page, we're going to use depth charts just because for now, like Ben mentioned earlier, their playing time is a little better. It's in line with roster resource. And again, that's a whole other discussion if you agree or disagree with that right now. But the Steamer playing time like made some players just jump off the page, and it shouldn't have, essentially. but we're going to use depth charts, the bad X, and Oopsie. And I like this because Oopsie rated out really well last year. And these are all very smart people that make these projections, so I'm not trying to like pick favorites or whatever. But I love the fact that Jordan, a couple things, is he's trying to get really creative with some of the new data that's out there. I appreciate that. He's also an open book. He flat out will tell you what's better than his. He will tell you what he's working on. He pretty much lets you behind the curtain, which a lot of these guys don't do. So that at least makes me want to be like, okay, at least I know what I'm working with. Because like we were kind of saying earlier, Ben, we have an idea. We don't really know. And that kind of leaves that big question mark at times. So I like the idea of using Oopsie. Did well last year. We'll see how it does this year. So Ben, as I blabbered on again, before we talk players, what are we looking at? I just wanted to mention we're using all three projections to discuss these players.
Yeah, so we have it's a pivot table in Excel that easily shows the three different lines for the three different systems for each player. And they're sorted by average rank. So I calculated my Z-scores for each of the three systems for only hitters. And then, so for example, in all three systems, Otani's player one. So he has an average rank of one. And because of that, his rank standard deviation is zero because it's one three times. There's no deviation from the mean at all. What we're going to do is we're going to pick out players down the list that have the bigger standard deviations of their surrounding players that are ranked in like a similar range. So like it's probably not surprising, but Otani, Judge, and Witt are first, second, and third respectively in all three systems. So they all have zeros for the standard deviation. But then maybe you get to someone that has like a 10, everybody else has like threes or fours. We're going to investigate the person with the 10 standard deviation, because that's saying among the three systems, there's some pretty big differences in where they're ranking that player. And before we start diving in, I'm going to mention real quick, I mentioned above before, but before I updated Steamer with depth charts, Steamer on average was like the lowest in average of runs per player. And this is all, and this is looking at player. And so the Z scores are looking at players that have 300 plus at bats. Again, that's my metric number. So when you're looking at an average player, depth chart, Steamer had the lowest average stats, but now depth charts has the highest average stats because the playing time boost was so great. But between the bad X, Oopsie, and depth charts has the average runs highest, average homers is highest amongst the three, average RBIs is highest, steals is actually middle. Oopsie on average has more steals per player. And then the weighted average is basically right identical amongst the three. So just keep that in mind as we're listening. Depth charts kind of is a little bit more hitter happy here, but then when it comes to speed, Oopsie is the best. So that's just a couple of the general trends that I just want to get out there.
All righty, let's get after it here. As Ben mentioned, you know, assist, it's always a good check when your top three goes Otani, Judge, and Wick. Like, okay, that checks out. That's where we need to be right now. And it goes well because like then it's Soto and Acuna. Like you're doing pretty good in these regards. We're not going to discuss them. We'll discuss some of the ones over 10 because that stands out. We're going to get into the weeds on some of these 20 and 30, you know, different like big gaps in things. That's just the way I ask because I talk gibberish. But I just look for big numbers. That's what I'm looking for. But we'll start with the first one just because I think it's an interesting talking point because Austin Riley's a name that we kind of all agree. Like if you look at his ADP, his ADP is like 79 over the last 7 days. Again, the draft we were in, Ben, I'm pretty sure that 89, that was in ours, I think. I feel like he fell forever in that draft. We were all talking about him in the text with me, you and Ryan, like, oh man. I'm like, yeah, it worked out. But there's a lot of questions because like the injuries have been in play in recent years. But what's interesting when looking at Austin Riley to me, it's like, the three projections, they all project him for over 600 plate appearances, which is or at bats, I mean, which is still very, very good. That's what you want, at least 600. Like you're going for that. They all got him for over 30 home runs. And they're all pretty much in line, is what I'm trying to get at, except depth charts. And this is why I wanted to bring him up because you mentioned this to me before, and it'll give us a talking point for maybe some other sections here. But if you look at the average rank, hitter rank, for each one, like if you look at the projections, they're almost like very close for the most part. Like RBIs are lower in depth charts, but everything else is pretty much in line. But he's the 19th hitter according to Oopsie. He's the 28th hitter according to Bat X. 42nd according to depth charts, Ben. So I'll leave the floor to you because you explained to me before the show of why that is, and I'll let you explain this because it'll probably come into play at later times.
Yeah, so, well, in terms of this actual stats that are being projected, depth charts has 3 fewer homers than Oopsie, 1 fewer than the bat. He has 6 fewer RBIs than the other two, so that'll play a difference. And also, depth charts has the lowest weighted average, so I would associate to a lower average as well, probably. It's about half of his, so depth charts average for Riley is about half as impactful as what Oopsie is saying.
Yeah, Oopsie it will has be. A big difference. Wow.
Yeah, it's 15-8. I know that those numbers mean nothing to the listeners, even myself. They don't really, you know, the farther from zero, the better the average. That's really what it comes down to. So it's a big difference between Oopsie and depth charts. But yeah, what Bud was kind of alluding to is that you're seeing a difference of one run or even zero runs, and the steals are almost the same. And 6 RBIs isn't a lot. Neither is really 1 or 3 homers. But this is relative to the other players in each system. So maybe depth charts is projecting, and this is what I said earlier when I went over all three. So depth charts is the most offensive, is most inflated when it comes to offense amongst the three systems that we're looking at. And since Riley's relatively similar to the other two systems in terms of the actual numbers, it's going to lower him down in depth charts because he's going to be higher in the other two systems like he is, but those same numbers aren't as good as the others in depth charts. So that's why there's a big gap here. And there is a discrepancy in the actual numbers as well. It's not like he has 98 across the board in RBIs. He is a drop of 6 could be impactful. Cause I always say like a little difference in a projection could have a big impact depending on where you are in the player pool. Usually Riley's going, he's hitter 28, I think on average, he's hitter 27 overall. So that's still pretty high, but there's a chance for a little difference in projections to have a big impact in moving him up and down. But I think this goes back to that environmental thing where depth charts is projecting a lot more offense than the other two. And Riley's a good example of that phenomenon.
Yes, indeed. And actually, I have him as hitter 45. I don't know which one you're looking at there. Maybe I'm blind. Like, I went to ADP and looked at Util. So
maybe in the list here, he's 27.
Oh, my bad. My bad. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Then okay.
So he's a value for projections that way. Then because
that's where I was going to go. If he's the 45th hitter, but Oopsie has him as the 19th hitter. Bat X 28th. Even depth charts 42nd. If you believe in all this stuff, like he becomes a value, which was kind of part of our discussion in our text messaging. Is like we know he's good, but the health and this, that, and the other projections are on board, which is impressive because not all projections, but they use a lot of previous numbers as well to help with said projections. Like for instance, changing to depth charts made Freddie Freeman actually pretty much like on par with the other projections. He stood out because of Steamer's playing time. So let's drop down to let's talk Jackson Merrill, a guy you just drafted, Ben. This is a good one to go here because I said I don't know what to do with him, and we talked, and you're like, I don't know what to do with him either. This is after he picked him, folks. So we're going back and forth. If you look at the three projections, Bat X has him for 603 at bats, depth chart 577, 580. So you already have a drop off. The Bat X has him as the 27th ranked hitter. Depth chart 52nd, Oopsie 48th for a round number of 39 overall between those. They're on par with runs. They're on par with homers, Ben, but the average differentiates too. So when you look at these Jackson Merrill profiles, we're starting to see a little gap where it's instead of two projections rating them high and one low, we have one kind of high and two rather low. So what do you see when you look at Jackson Merrill?
Yeah, really the Bat X is just kind of like with Riley. The Bat X thinks he's going to have a much better average than the other two. It's a 17 weighted average versus an 11 for Oopsie and depth charts. So it's almost doubled the other two. And then the steals, it's 10-7. So not a big difference, but kind of the same thing as Riley. It's little changes the farther you go into the player pool, they'll have bigger impact on the rankings. And that's kind of what's happening here. I think the average, though, in the Bat X is really carrying his rank in that system to being so much higher up than the other two. And this in general, though, I think, well, let's stick with average. So he hit, what, like 290 his rookie year? And then he had the concussion last year. He had I think he had another like actual bodily injury that held him back.
He had a wrist or ankle. I can't remember which one it was now, but yes.
Yeah, so if you're getting, if you have a concussion and then you have that, then I don't know. His K rate did go up a little bit. It went up 5 percentage points. That could be a result of the concussion and just not feeling 100%. So maybe the bad X is regressing that the K rate down more than the other two systems are, because his BABIP was basically the same across the two seasons. So that didn't play a role in the difference in the average. And I just think in general, the steals are low for him because he had 16 and then in 2024 in his rookie year, Merrill. And then last year, he only had one. And when you look at the numbers, they're kind of just hedging it in the middle, but he has that speed still. If you look at his Fangraphs page, and I think Merrill should be good for 20 steals still. And I think the average will be helpful. All the systems are saying it will be helpful, but I think there's a good chance he bounces back to like what the Bad X is saying. And he also too, he's just one of those players where he went so high last year. He was like around the 2-3 turn in 15 teamers. Yep. Now he's going closer to pick 80. I think I got him in like the sixth round, or I forget where I got him. So you're getting a big discount, and there's obvious reasons for why he had a down year. So I figured take the chance.
Yep, ADP 77 over the last 7 days. He is hitter 44 according to ADP in the last 11 drafts. It's about the last week or so as is. So if you like the Bad X, he's a steal. The other ones think he might be slightly an overpay, but overall pretty close. And I looked up Jackson Merrill's injury history. It's like a game of operation, Ben. In 2024, it was a groin and then a knee injury. In 2025, he started out with a hamstring injury, then an illness, then a concussion, then an undisclosed, then an illness, then an ankle. So he's like, I said the operation because it's like all over the body with him right now. It's the consistencies aren't there, but stay healthy. The skills are great. It's just, that's what joking with you in our messaging going, I don't know what to do with him. I just, it's tough because I believe in the skills. I have no clue if he can stay on the field right now is the scary part. All right. Trevor Story goes right after him. I think we all know he achieved very well. I hate using the word overachieved, but let's just say he overachieved last year and the regression monsters are coming to play, but I guess he didn't really overachieve. It's just, he stayed healthy is what it came down to. And can he do it again? The Bad X has him as the 29th hitter. Depth chart's the 40th hitter. Oopsie, the 60th hitter. So that's a gap. Like, we're talking 11, then 20 in those situations. And a lot of it has to do with the weighted average in a big, big way. Oopsie does not think he can hit for average at all, Ben. But then, like, depth charts thinks he's a run producer. Oopsie just doesn't think – Oopsie really doesn't like him. That's what it comes – the more I look at it. But what are your thoughts when you see Trevor Story's? Because this is one of those where the first two, there was like two that were close at least. This one, they all have a little bit of – he drops off is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and you mentioned the average – the weighted average of Story. And Oopsie has him as a negative contributor. So he's below the average of the three of the hitters with 300-plus at-bats that are projected. His average is – lower than what theirs is, essentially. And then the Bad X is actually the same amount but higher because it's 4 versus -4. Depth chart's kind of in the middle of 2. But yeah, the runs is a big difference. 85 for the Bad X for Story, 82 for depth charts. Oopsie only has 72. So a difference of 10 and 13. That's really going to hurt. And I've had chances to draft Story. You mentioned the injury history with him, and it's been tough to hit draft close to pick 100 when he's barely played over the last 3 years before 2025. And with that, his K rate those 3 years was over 30%. Then he went down to 27% in 2025. And I think that kind of is contributing to the question average amongst three systems is, okay, is he going to be a 30% strikeout guy again, Story, or is he going to be a little bit more bearable mid to upper 20s? Which is still isn't ideal, but when he has the speed and the power that he does and he's playing in Fenway, it's going to help offset some of those issues with the average and the strikeouts. But yeah, it's just, I think it's just showing that he's a risky pick, whether it's for health or average. So it makes sense that the systems are a little unsure what to do with Story.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the case that I want to throw this out there. So not so silent majority. It feels like stat nerds, not sarcasm, have taken over baseball projections, have modern stat projections been evaluated from the previous year to see how these numbers worked out in the end. We actually did start of the show with that. So if you want to go back to the beginning, we went back and looked at how those worked. And yes, stats are taking over all sports and actually life in general. Pretty much any aspect of anything, there is a stat involved in how things take place. But as a caveman here, you learn to embrace things you can handle, is the way I'll say it. Don't try to overdo it. I'm never going to try to be Ben Titt. Let's put it that way. But I'll try to learn from Ben Titt. That's where I'll be with this one. Real quick, like I've been doing with everybody over the last couple of weeks, Trevor Story's ADP is 109, which is interesting because I think he's one of like the last shortstops before a big cliff. And he's the 68th hitter. So even with the bad oopsie projection, he's still slightly a value. Depth charts and the bad X, they think he is a definite hitting value if you are trying to get in on that one. So as much as they differ in projections, they still at least think he's better than where he's getting drafted, if that makes sense to anybody out there. All right, now here's one that a guy that I have trouble with every year, unless you know you're smart and go, okay, I want batting average to save my team, and that is Yandy Diaz. Yandy Diaz is the 31st hitter according to BatX. He's 37th according to depth charts. Oopsie, 68th. Oopsie has a massive drop in batting average between the projections, and just to make it to open the eyes of some others, because you're using the mean average on these. Like Oopsie has him for 276, which on paper, very good. But depth charts 295, the BatX 286. Big differences when you're talking about per plate appearance. And that's why the gap in these that when you look at the numbers Ben's going to talk about. But what are your thoughts on Yandy Diaz? Because as a whole, Oopsie's not a fan. And I'm guessing this is where Oopsie takes more of a look at the player profile, the hitting, like ground balls and stuff. I could, at least that's my brain. Again, totally wrong potentially, but that's where I see it standing out. So what are your thoughts on Yandy Diaz here?
Right. The power is the lowest with Oopsie. I wish I remembered more from the show that Jordan was on, because I should have taken notes maybe. But I'm trying to enjoy my podcast. I'm not trying to make it turn into homework. But yeah, he was – I'm sure he went into what goes into like the homer side of projections. And that's my biggest concern with Yandy is the power, because he played in George Steinbrenner last year, which is essentially Yankee Stadium, but in better climate. And he had a lot of opposite field homers. I think he's only been above 20 the last couple of years, in the last couple of seasons twice. Yeah, it was 2023 was his career high of 22, and then he went to 14 in 2024, and then 25 last year. So maybe – so that's a – if you average that together, it's like 20 maybe upper teens in homers, which with good runs and RBIs and a really good average is helpful. I have taken Yandy on a team so far. And just seeing the gap of Oopsie at 276 versus like 296 or 295 for depth charts is massive. And that's really what's driving the difference in the standard deviation. So I don't know. I think he's going to, regardless of what happens in 2026, Yandy's going to be a good average contributor. I guess the degree is debatable. I'm just really worried about the power, and I guess Oopsie is really the only one. And I mean, 19 isn't that bad either. You just have to make sure you have power from other positions, because he's a first baseman, so you're going to usually want a little bit more power from your corner. But I may have taken him on my Jazz team, but it, like if you take Jazz, who has a low average, tons of steals, and pretty good homers for a middle infielder, him going with Yandy is probably a pretty good combination, because he's going to offset the average that Jazz brings, and Jazz is going to help with the power. So in the right build, he makes sense. You just got to be mindful of the power, I think. That's really the only issue I see.
Agreed. And again, I'll just keep reiterating, 76th hitter according to ADP. He's 31st, 37th, and 68th. So even on Oopsie, he's slightly of value, but bad X depth charts like him a lot. What this also shows me, and we'll talk obviously more players here, but this is why it's good to aggregate them. Don't take the top end. Don't take the bottom end. Let's find a happy spot in the middle. That's just, you know, no statistical genius here. But if you're always taking the top or always taking the bottom, you're not getting the actual situation here, I guess. So this is why it's also good to mix and match and see where it goes. All righty. Riley Green, we could talk about. Let's drop the Matt Olson here, actually, because he's farther down this list than I expected. And he's got some differences here. Played or at bats pretty similar across the board. There's a big discrepancy in runs. Depth charts loves Matt Olson. Power, BatX does not have any power compared to the others for Matt. Oopsie likes him a lot. 33rd hitter on Oopsie. 43rd in depth charts. They're pretty similar. 83rd on the Bat X, which was quite a surprise for a system that does kind of take pride in the whole StatCast thing with these players. I'll say this much. Matt Olson is the 34th hitter. So now we're finding a world where if you follow the projections, this might not be what we're looking for. So that's why I wanted to start bringing it up. What are your thoughts when you look at these Matt Olson projections?
Well, I think I had a chance of taking Olson in the DC that we're in together, and I passed on him. It's just because I see like the even in the prior seasons, he's been very up and down because he had that 54 monster year in 2023, Olson. And then he followed up with two seasons of 29 homers. And his average went from being bad to good in those 2 years. So, and even the 1 year in 2024, Olson only had 78 runs. So you're getting like okay runs, a bad average, no steals, about average power for a first baseman, and then good RBIs. So at that point, he's like a 2.5 category guy. And you're paying a massive price coming off the 54 homer season. And then I think he's like around 50-ish. I know you're going to read the ADP, but he's like in the 50, 60 range also now. So he's moved back down. But I couldn't pull the trigger because I don't know. I don't know where the average is going to be for Olson, and that's kind of what we're seeing with the projections. The Bat X has him as a negative average contributor, whereas Oopsie is about the same magnitude, only positive. Depth charts is in the middle, almost neutral. And then I think you mentioned the Bat X's power is 27 homers versus 33 and 32 for the other two systems. Also, he has the fewest runs in the Bat X. And I pulled up his StatCast, and Olson, I guess the average is getting pulled because of the StatCast numbers. His XBA was 249, which is about 50th percentile, 49th percentile. His K rate is 30th percentile. It's not even that high. It's 24. It's weird how the percentiles work for average. So not the best in some regards on a StatCast. I mean, the barrels rate's still great. The average X velocity is awesome for Olson. The hard hits, 95th percentile. The squared up isn't good. I don't know if Cardi's doing a lot with squared up percentage. It's a very nuanced thing, I think, to include into a projection. But yeah, so for me, like I had my own hesitancy to draft Olson because I'm not really sure where the average is going to be. We kind of see that in the different projections, like I mentioned. And then the power itself, it can fluctuate from him from year to year. So who knows how many homers going to get. So he's a tough one. Maybe like you would want to take a stab just to have a shot in case he does go off of like 40 homers again. But I don't know. It's hard to really nail down what to expect from Olson.
Yeah, and he's one of the first ones where I've looked at that. It's interesting because there's 162 games. He's played in four straight seasons. Like, that's outstanding. That's just an Iron Man right there. But the last two seasons, he's hit 29 home runs each season, and now we have every projection except the Bat X with over 30 home runs. And that stood out to me like, huh. Not saying he can't do it, because before that it's 54, 34, 39, 36. Like, we know the power is really, really good with Matt Olson, but we have back-to-back seasons sub 30, and then every projection except the Bat X has above 30. That raises a small red flag for me. Averages varied most of his career. It's been in the 250 range, so that checks out. So, yeah, like the projections are giving him almost a lifetime like sample. You're like, hey, we're looking at his whole total package. Maybe not so much like, hey, he's going to be 32. His 2 years as a 30-year-old, there has been a slight decline. Still a very good ball player, but a slight decline. And maybe we should start, you know, paying attention to that. We'll see. I hope he proves us wrong. I have no share. I never have shares of Matt Olson. I'm at least tempted this year with that ADP close to 60. I'm a little more tempted, but I've never jumped on that one at all. Real quick in the chat here, Paul C. says, find someone who likes you as much as the Bat X likes Yandy year after year. Yep, there. Certain projection systems are always going to like certain players. That is something about their secret sauce. It just reigns supreme. All right, let's just get this over with. Let's rip it off like a Band-Aid. O'Neill Cruz checks in here. I think everyone should know my thoughts on O'Neill Cruz by now. If he makes it on my team, it's because it's one of the – he falls so far in drafts or we're at an auction table and no one else is bidding, and I threw him out as a tease. So we're looking at the projections here, and it varies quite a bit. Like the Bat X has like 25, 30 more at-bats for O'Neill Cruz. Which obviously fluctuates counting stats. The Bat X has him at 35. depth charts has him at 83 when it comes to the 83rd ranked hitter. Oops, he has the 56. Cumulatively, he's the 59th. So he's, like the Bad X loves him is the best way I could say it. Everyone else is at least somewhat realistic. O'Neill Cruz is the 66th hitter, according to ADP right now. So if you trust depth charts, you're not touching him. Oopsie, you got a slight value. Like I said, everyone knows my thoughts on Cruz, and it pretty much checks out when I look at this, Ben.
Yeah, a little uncertainty. So the depth charts one stands out. They're the lowest. If everyone remembers, depth charts overall is the most hitter inflated when it comes to the average stats amongst the players with 300-plus at-bats. And depth charts at the same time is also looking at roster resource, which has O'Neill in a platoon. So I'm sure that's going to lower, however they're going to factor in that playing time projection, that's going to affect the raw projection totals. So that's why Cruz's runs are the lowest, 69 versus 72 and 83. The homers are the lowest, 22 versus 23 and 26. RBIs are 67 versus 70 and 74. Actually tied for the most steals. So that's kind of irrelevant, I guess, to those other stats and playing time. But depth charts also likes his average the least. He's a minus six weighted average, whereas Bad X is actually neutral. He's a zero, so league average average. And Oopsie's minus three, so not as bad. I have Cruz very low in my rankings, and in a spot where I will never draft him because the average was 200 last year, I think, roughly, and the K rate supported that, and he's platooning. He's not projected to hit high in the Pirates lineup. This is a lot of different factors that are going into why I don't want to draft O'Neill Cruz. Like probably the same reasons you don't want to draft him either. But if he could return the Bad X line, I think people would be pretty happy where they're taking him. But I don't know. It seems like a best case scenario at this point.
Yeah, I think you're shooting for the moon. The biggest, playing time, the swing and miss, there's a lot of factors. Like, the skills are good. I'm not going to knock, when he does actually make contact, it's really, really good. But then the skills of when he doesn't make contact, which is too often, obviously is a problem. So it's you got to really figure out what he can do. But, like Pat Monahan says, he was at a game where he hit the ball 123 miles an hour. That's awesome. But I bet you he works as an air conditioner part-time, too. That's just who he is. Or he sits on the bench, which is tricky as well. So if they can figure it out between the ears, we probably get somewhere with O'Neill Cruz. Next two I want to talk about here. They go right next to each other on the sheet. They're the 68th and 69th hitters, and we will talk about them now. Talk about 68. These are both players I don't think people – there's a lot of mixed reviews. What do we really do with Geraldo Perdomo, who burst out onto the scene last year, had a monster season. If you look at player raters – top 10 player, you drafted him for free in drafts. So this is one of those, what do projections do with Geraldo Perdomo, Ben? It's going to be interesting to see. You look at the Bad X, they only have him for 576 played at bats, depth charts 581, oopsie 591, which all seem low to me if he's the everyday shortstop. So that's interesting for one. The power we saw last year, they give him a little power that disappears. They still gets the steals. Batting average fluctuates. Depth charts has him as their 38th hitter. They like him the most. A lot of it is the batting average and power components, which give him counting stats. He dominates most categories for this. Oopsie has him as the 63rd hitter, and the Bad X has him at 93. Now, if you look at ADP, his ADP is about 90 right now. So in a couple formats, that rates out really well. And he is the 52nd hitter overall. So according to depth charts, that's a steal. Otherwise, you're probably making a rough pick if you trust these projections, Ben. A lot of variance here. We're talking 25 to 30 rankings apart for once. We have a lot to play with. So what are your thoughts on this Geraldo Perdomo situation?
Well, the fact that the Bad X is lowest on him isn't surprising, because when you go to Perdomo's Statcast page, pretty poor in the power metrics. His X slug is 50th percentile, 51st percentile. But his barrel rate's 25th percentile, hard hit it's 11th, average exit velocity is 16th, and his bat speed 7th percentile. So I'm assuming that all of those metrics that it's named are going into his Bad X projection. And then even on top of that, Perdomo's sprint speed was 44th percentile, which isn't very fast for someone who stole 27 bases. But then you mentioned Josh Naylor, and he's first percentile probably in speed, and he stole 30. Doesn't really matter, but that's how the systems are going to look at projecting Perdomo, and the power came way down. He was at, I think, 19 homers last year. No, he was at 20, nothing higher than 15. His barrel rate was, or he had 33 barrels last year, Perdomo. So he actually converted at a pretty decent rate. But the other thing, though, too, is that his pull air was 19.9%, which is actually red on Savant. And I know you and Ryan and Rob D went to a great episode on the Patreon going over pulled air rate and pulled barrels. And so I think that's definitely what helped Perdomo. And that could be a thing or a reason why the systems are so down on him. It's a little bit of the Isaac Paredes case where the numbers look horrible underneath, but he still produces because of how he hits, essentially. And now with pulled air, we have a way of capturing that to some degree. And even with Oopsie, I remember Jordan saying that he tested trying to capture the effects of pulled air or certain, like he was trying to more accurately forecast the tails of the distributions. So Perdomo would be like someone on the high end of the distribution where he's getting more from his power than he should. But by actually accounting for those differences and or like those more subtle aspects of players, it was making his overall system less accurate because it was over projecting for a few, whereas it was kind of hurting the many as a result of it. So with like the case of Perdomo, maybe we know that, okay, he does these things that kind of break the system. So maybe he can outperform what the three systems are saying. But with that said, I haven't drafted him yet because I don't want to pay for a career year the way it ended up being. He's not going as highly as he finished last year, I don't think, like in a player rater, Perdomo. But with the I don't trust the power, and even the average is kind of off between the systems. That chart sticks out, and then Oopsie and Bad X is about half as impactful of an average compared to what depth charts is saying. So I don't know. It's just a lot of question marks with a breakout like that, and even where he's going like a top 100 pick per Domo, and I kind of don't want to gamble too much at that point on a player like that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have so many questions, and you and I, at least in that regard, if we had a lot of questions, we're not really taking high picks on these guys. That's just we're a little more cautious in those regards. And Perdomo's one of them. Like it's sadly, I always say, prove it to me. Like with him, I almost need to prove it to me twice. Like I need to see this. It's the old, if you have a skill, they own it. Okay. A lot of guys can get hot for 1 year. Is this a skill? Like, do you own it? And I need to see that with Perdomo. And then I'll pay a higher price next year. I'm fine with that. I'll suck it up and go that direction. I just need to see it take place. Mentioned Josh Naylor. He's going right. He's ranked right behind Perdomo as the 69th. Hitter by aggregate projections, but there's a lot of variance here as well, even more so than with Perdomo. The Bad X has Josh Naylor as the 92nd hitter. Depth Charts has him at 32. Oopsie has him at 71. Depth Charts, once again, they like the speed. Oopsie likes the speed too, which is good to see, but Depth Charts gives him the batting average, gives him some more power, which gives him a ton more RBIs. Like, Depth Charts likes him a lot. Real quick, I said 69th overall hitter here, 92nd, 32, 71. If you look at ADP right now, he's the 42nd hitter off the board. So only Depth Charts thinks he's somewhat of a value. The rest think he is an overpay right now. Even if you aggregate it, they think he's an overpay right now. So that is something to think about. His overall ADP over the last week or so is 73. So we're looking at Josh Naylor. Like, the question everyone always has right now, Ben, is will he run again? We don't know. The Mariners ran a ton, and he did a lot of that stealing with the Mariners, so that's a plus. He's always had power. He's always had the ability to hit for average, just not year after year, it feels like. But the speed's the question. Now, Oopsie and Depth Charts believe a little bit in the speed. When you look at these projections, though, like, Depth Charts is in love, which they should buy him a ring.
Yeah, I think we covered Naylor on the Oopsie show because they dislike him compared to the ADP, which you mentioned. And then Bad X is even dislikes him even more than Oopsie does. So that's why he's really sticking out on this list. And yeah, you mentioned the RBIs. That's really what's driving it. 92 on depth charts versus 75 for the other two. That's almost 20 RBIs. That's no wonder he's dropping so much on the other two systems. And then I pulled up his recent stats, and Naylor has been 92 or higher the last 3 years. So I think I don't want. I don't get why they're projecting 77 or 75.
He's been an RBI guy like time and time again.
Yeah, even in shortened, not even a full 2023, Naylor had 97 RBIs, and then he played almost 150 games roughly the last 2 years, and he was at 92 and 108. So he, assuming that he's going to play a full year, he's going to have 90 plus RBIs. And yeah, so this is one where I think the runs are valid because he's definitely shown that he's not, well, we know how slow he is, you know, Naylor stole 30 bases, so he's not going to score a ton of runs. And that was kind of an issue with him before the last couple seasons, before he had like, I think he had 80. Yeah, he had 84 in 2024, 81 last year, Naylor. And then the other thing too is that, well, on the Oopsie Show, I remember saying that his homers have varied so much year to year, and even the average as well. So it's hard for me to just get an idea of what he's going to do. And now we have the massive steal total. That's another stat that's very variable for Naylor. And it's no surprise to see the systems ultimately be off, but for a different reason, which is kind of weird. Like RBI shouldn't be the reason why the systems are differing on Naylor's value. It should be more of like a steals and an average and a homer thing, not RBIs. But ultimately, it's still the same idea is there that there's a lot of uncertainty with what Naylor's going to give you. So I don't know. I've just been passing. Like I'd much rather have someone like I think Vinny Pasquantino than Naylor because I know what I'm going to get from him. I don't necessarily need the steals from first base because I don't think they're guaranteed by any means. So I don't know. Naylor's just someone that I'll probably not draft this year.
Yeah, and like you nailed one of my big things. Like I took him recently in a draft we can talk about on another time. That it was more of a let's see how this team turns out draft. But it's my only share, probably will be my only share because we already know first base is not a great place for steals. We want our steals from the middle infield, preferably shortstop or the outfield. So if I have to take steals at first base, I want them to be reliable. Like your point, Naylor is the question, are they reliable? And that's what scares me off of that because like I can get power later, like Vinny P or Christian Walker or a lot of guys, Torkelson, speed. Early, you got to go up the middle. You got to go to the outfield, and those are more proven commodities. So I agree with you fully on that. All right, let's drop down to one that's the biggest difference we've seen so far tonight, and that is Stephen Kwan. Stephen Kwan is the 89th hitter when we aggregate them all together. But this one is interesting to me because the Bat X has Stephen Kwan at 138, which when you project him for four home runs and a massive drop off in batting average, that'll have a large part to do with this. Because depth charts has him at 57th, Oopsie has him at 79. But what stood out to me is Stephen Kwan is being drafted as the 101st hitter. So with the aggregate, he is a nice value. Depth chart and Oopsie even think he's a value. So there's something there. Again, he was a part of that pulled barrel discussion with Rob and company. When you look at Stephen Kwan's projections here, just I guess in general, what are your thoughts on Kwan? Because he's another guy like. I like him, but I don't know if I like him for real life or fantasy more. That's the problem.
Yeah, I think I took Kwan on my first team, which not ironically, is that it was only when that trust was out. So naturally, he's going to look the best in that system. And even the line, though, for depth charts, isn't that outrageous? 85, 86 runs, 11 homers, 60 RBIs, 19 steals, and a good average. That's Stephen Kwan. That's what he's done the last few years. And I think the Bat X is just taking the barrel rate to an extreme and just destroying his projection. And then I'm sure Jordan and Oopsie is kind of doing something to a similar degree. But after seeing that his power on the show you mentioned with Rob and Ryan that you guys recorded it a little while ago, it makes sense that there's a good chance he's going to outperform those projections when it comes to homers. And I think Kwan is fine. If you need an average and a little boost in steals and runs in the mid 100s where he's going, I think he's fine because he's been very reliable last few years, I believe with his stat lines. And there's no reason to expect it to change. The speed has varied a little bit. He only had 12 steals in 2024, but he's been at 19, 21 and 21 in the other three seasons in his career. And then, yeah, he started out with 6 and 5 homers in his first two seasons, Kwan, but then he's in double digits the last 2 years. And then, like we said, the pulled barrels is kind of the explanation for that. So I think he's safer than what the systems are saying.
Yep, I agree with you there. He's very, very safe. Actually, it's just a matter of what can he tap into to overcome more than being safe. Let's talk about Xander Bogaerts. This is a name that you and Ryan are both bummed got drafted early. This is one of ATC's biggest values. We're not discussing ATC, but it is a value because he is the 90th hitter due to the aggregates. ADP-wise, he's the 132nd hitter, so that's big. Remember that 132nd because he's the 56th hitter, according to BatX. That's a tremendous value. Depth charts 110, still a value. Oopsie 112, still a value. These are all perceived values. I apologize, Ben. I should have said that from the beginning. Perceived values. But if you believe in the projections, like no matter which one you use, Xander has tons of potential here. BatX likes him more for his speed a little more than the others. Just one more. It's the average. They have a big boost in average than depth charts than Oopsie. It's just a slight different. Oopsie has more power for Xander. And the BatX in the more power gets more counting stats, better batting average. But I just wanted to bring him up because we've seen the discussions either between us, between Discords, between others about the Xander being a draft day value. And the projections all support that full-heartedly. I said he's a 132nd hitter. His ADP is 222 over the last week. So that is tremendous in that regard. And he is a shortstop only right now. So not second base like the year before. But what are your thoughts on Xander Bogaerts and this wonderful projection system?
Yeah, I'm trying to get Xander if I need middle infield help. And, yeah, the ATC show, I think it was on – oh, there's too many pods I've been listening to. It may have been like Launch Angle or maybe Waxman's pod. I forget what they were talking about it. And Xander stood out as the biggest, I think, value per ATC, I think just in raw dollars. And he's going – so the systems have him going back to basically a full-time player. I know he, looking at his last couple of seasons, Xander was hurt by injury. Hurt by injury, yeah. Go figure. But the speed has actually picked up with the new rules because he was kind – like the steals kind of had fallen off for him. Since he was really young, like he was below 10 for 5 years in a row. And then he sold 19 in 2023, 13, 2024, and then 20 last year. And then the power dropped down to 11 in 2024 and 2025, 11 homers. But like I said, Xander missed some time both seasons and the years before he was around 23, 15, 19. And I think the systems now are just kind of aggregating and hedging on in between those different seasons. And the average should be helpful as well. Cause Xander has been 260 plus isn't basically his entire career since he was 22 years old. And sure, he's definitely declining because he was more closer to 300. But even those years, I remember he would always be outperforming his XBA and his Statcast numbers. But 260 with 15 and 15 at that point in the draft, I think it's a great value. He's going to play every day. And the Padres, yeah, there's been some questions with the team, but I think they're still good enough to support a good season from Bogaerts. So I think, he went pre-pick 200 in our DC that you mentioned. So he definitely would have been someone I've been looking to draft. I just took actually Otto Lopez. Xander would have been an option in that case as well for me. But yeah, the systems like him, and even the BatX with the average, it's twice the impact of Oopsie. So that's a big boost too. That's why he's so high at 56.
Big time. John Wilder, friend of the show, friend of the Discord, says Xander is going even later in November drafts. Just imagine the prices Ben missed out on. So, yeah.
Really touché, good stuff. Touché.
Very good stuff. A couple more here, and then I'll let you, if there's any more that stand out to you. I'm trying to go bigger numbers without going too deep because obviously I think things will continue to change. But we could talk Will Smith for Ryan, but we'll skip that. I just want to mention Jonathan Aranda because this I stared at him in the draft war, and I was like, oh, should I? It's a guy that spent time hurt last year, played 106 games, 14 homers, hit 316. So, like, we know there's decent power. We know there's decent average, but it's, like, new ballpark. What do we do? Look at the projections. He's the 105th hitter due to aggregate. Due to ADP, he's 113th hitter, so it's pretty good aggregate-wise. But if you go projection by projection, the BatX has him as the 98th hitter, Ben. Depth chart's 80th. Oopsie, 139. So, Oopsie's not nearly the believer that the other two are with this. And Oopsie has fewer home runs, fewer RBIs, fewer runs scored, and a massive drop in batting average. And that's, I think the batting average is the one I've been wondering every time I look to potentially draft him, because it was that 316 last year, but much lower previous years. Oopsie has him projected hit 249, where the BatX has 258, depth chart says 269. So those are all about 10-point differences, Ben, which checks out. When you look at these projections, how do you kind of evaluate Jonathan Aranda, I guess?
Well, when I was doing my research, I never realized that he had a 4.9 BABIP last year, and that's why he had 316 until I heard it on a podcast, and now I'm looking at his fan graphs, and yeah, this is 409. So he's definitely going to come down a lot. And 106 games of a 4.9 BABIP is pretty impressive, but over a full year, assuming that Aranda stays healthy, it's going to come down. And even the BABIP varies amongst the systems. Oopsie, which is, like you said, was the least optimistic with his average, is at 313. But like Zips has 338, Steamer and Fangraphs are closer to 330. Even the Bat, actually the BatX is lower than Oopsie. It's at 311. Even so though, Aranda's XBA was 97th percentile last year, 291, but his K rate was 23rd percentile, 25%. So it's showing up in the BABIP. But I guess when he hit the ball though, he crushed it because there's so much dark red on his Statcast. Mm-hmm. And then with Aranda, Aranda, he kind of kicked the platoon, so that'll help. I'm not sure how his splits actually were versus lefties. Let me pull it up real quick. His average was 50 points lower, but still 274. I'm not sure what the slugging and OPS was, all that stuff. But he fared fine versus lefties, and I think the Rays are running out of options to platoon. So Aranda should be safe all the time, and I don't think he's going to hurt you when he bats versus lefties. But also, too, his career average was like 230 before this past season.
Yep.
Granted, like I mentioned with the BABIP, so it inflated everything. And so I think it's just tough with the small sample size. The systems don't really know how much to regress him back down. And well, the power numbers are pretty good too, because Aranda had only 14 homers last year, 422 plate appearances. So maybe you take half of that. It's closer to 20. Yeah, I could see him, the 20, two homers being a decent projection for the power. But I think, yeah, like you mentioned with the oops, he's basically saying he's a league average hitter in terms of average. So I don't know. The way he hits the ball, I think Aranda will probably be a little – he'll probably help your average, but I don't know if he's going to be like a 290 hitter or 300 hitter. So it's tricky. I haven't drafted him yet. I'd rather just take someone that I know has – well, I say he has more power, but like I said, his barrel rate was so good. So I don't know. Aranda's a tricky one for sure.
He's very tricky. And then the move of the ballparks is also another factor. There's just levels too. That's why I just kind of passed on him. But it's one of those I could look back on and be like, yeah, okay, yeah, he's doing it. So like, it makes sense in the end. But I just don't know how many shares that I'll have. The last one I'm going to pick, and I guess, like I said, if you want to go after some, you can. I'm going to talk about Eugenio Suarez. Obviously, we're waiting for him to sign somewhere. That could factor into things. But last year, 49 home runs between the D-backs and the Mariners. Back to that 228 average we love so much, but the RBIs are great once again, and that's earning him an ADP right now of around 132 and a 78th hitter off the board, Ben. But you look at projections, aggregate projections, 118th hitter. I said 78th according to where he's getting drafted. The BatX has him at 86. Depth chart's 117. Oopsie, 115. Talk about a player Oopsie's way out on. It's Eugenio Suarez. All of them are not batting average fans of Eugenio Suarez. And even the power, though, like they're backing off. Plate appearances, they're backing off. Or at bats, I should say, they're backing off. So what are your thoughts on the Suarez deal? He will be 34. So, I agree regression is probably smart, because even the year before when he played well, it was 30 home runs and 256. If you look at the projections, they have him for 32, 32, and 29 homers and, 225, 230, which is probably much more where he should be. But what are your thoughts when you see this? Because he gets we've talked about some Xander Bogaerts values, quote unquote. Eugenio, no one really cares for where he's going.
No, he actually went pretty high in our DC though. I think I made a comment about that when it happened. And yeah, I want nothing to do with him because of that average. I dealt with average issues on some teams last year, and it's not fun. And the systems, they really vary. So I'm looking at the BatX, which was the highest. They have the less impactful average amongst the three, and they gave him the most runs, tied for the most homers and the most RBIs by two. Oopsie just doesn't like the run production nearly as much as the other two. 70 runs, 82 RBIs. and like you said, the worst average amongst the three. So yeah, he's just going to be someone that I'm going to be passing over. Just at that point in the draft, I don't want to get an average tank, no matter who I take before that. And I, Suarez, he's not even signed yet either, so who knows where he's going to go. There's a lot of question. Well, the location is a question mark, and then I know the average is going to be bad. So I don't. I just don't want to deal with that, really.
Agreed completely. Real quick, Adam says, someone has to get the Fangraphs story on Oopsie. Feels like something that came into existence at a bar table somewhere. It's Jordan Rosenblum's. I forget why he calls it Oopsie, but I guarantee you he's got a reason for it. And he's a very sarcastic person when I got to meet him in person in Vegas. So there's probably layers to it, and I kind of respect it because just talking to him, the guy is funny. So, again, but you might know more to it than I do.
I believe on that podcast he said like it means nothing. It's he did, so he just chose Oopsie for whatever reason apparently.
Yeah, that seems like something he would do. He's got that it's not dry, I guess, but kind of dry, like European humor. He nails it to a T. And that can be like, hey, it's a projection, but it's wrong. Oopsie. Like I that's where I would roll with it. Like, like here you go. It's a projection. We're trying to make things up. Anybody else you'd like to discuss on this list? Because again, I could sit here and do this all night and to go between this and that. Like, I'd love to make fun of Will Smith, but I do that to Ryan enough. There's so many on here, but anybody else you'd like to see? Like, your boy Jack Cags is on there pretty big. Anybody else?
Yeah, Jack Cags. I'm kind of intrigued by him this year.
Yeah, me too. That's why I was surprised.
It's tough in a DC, but in a fab league, I think I'm going to try to get some Jack Cags.
Yeah, where you can replace him if all goes wrong. Like, in a 12, yeah. I absolutely love him. Like, I know you don't play a lot of 12s, but in a 12, like, that is the wheelhouse guy you're looking for at that kind of ADP. But, yeah, in a DC, you know, it's a little trickier. Yes, sure, you should have, you know, 12 other outfielders or 10 other outfielders or something, but still, it's a dead spot potentially, and that's never good.
Yeah, so the one guy I guess I'll definitely mention that you kind of gloss over before you mentioned him as you're going on the list was Riley Green.
Yeah.
So I had Riley Green on my main event that did really well last year. Did not expect the massive – well, I knew he had upside because he was a big prospect and he had been fine in his previous seasons. But then I think Green had like 36 homers, almost 100 RBIs, maybe more than 100 RBIs, 90 runs. The one thing, though, that I noticed having him on my team was the average really dropped in the second half, and his K rate was horrible last year, Green's. And so he's hitter 43 aggregated across three systems. He's hitter 74 for Bad X, 27 for Oopsie, 36 for depth charts. So the Bad X does not like Green at all. They have him for the lowest homers, 27. Lowest, everything's lowest except for steals. But his average is almost non-impactful. And the thing with me and Green is the K rate. So I haven't touched him yet because I could see it cratering to being like 240. And he actually hits these projections of like 30 homers where he's more like, I don't want to say Eugenio Suarez we just talked about because I don't think his average is going to be that bad. But his K rate, it's, I think, is worse than Suarez's.
Yeah,
it's like a similar, it's like a similar profile, but it's, I don't know, like he just had they both had really good years. This is that Green had a better average, and yeah, so I'm looking at Suarez's page. His was 29.8 last year, his K rate, and I'm gonna get the actual Green's, so I have it. So 29.8, and Green was at 30.7.
Yeah,
and because I had Green on that team, I would watch him or at least watch highlights of him. And his swing is so ugly. He is the king of the launch angle, lean back, try to hit a home runner every time. So I'm amazed that he hit 258 watching him hit. And he doesn't steal, even though he's fast. So I'm kind of out on Riley Green where he's going. I don't know. I feel like there's a massive downside to him. And the systems kind of are saying there's a lot of uncertainty with the outcome for Green because of the average primarily, which is my main concern as well. So I don't know. He's just someone that I don't really look at all after. And last year, it was the only time I drafted him on that one team, and it paid off for me. But I don't know. Going back to this year, I don't think I can do it.
Yeah, he's insane power, but to take him with an ADP of 88 inside the top 100, where you know you're taking people in that range that could, you know, a couple picks at different positions. But you have Austin Riley, you have Mikel Garcia. Like Jaron Duran's going right after him. Like, I think we know who Jaron Duran is. Like, I'm not saying, you know, like obviously Riley Green's got more power, but Jaren Duran's get you a heck of a floor. Byron Buxton's going right next to him. That's actually a really fun comp. Like if Buxton stays healthy, he probably blows him out of the water, but you're playing the health game there. So there's a lot of what ifs, but that's the game we play, of course. Real quick, I'll let you pick someone else here. Pat Monahan says, I'm surprised how similar all the projection systems view Ben Rice's 2026 aside from Steamer's plate appearances. Hey, what are your thoughts on Ben Rice's plate appearances if they sign Paul Goldschmidt?
I would hate Cashman even more than I already do.
That was like my first thought when I saw all those things. I'm like, no, 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 don't, do not toy with this.
He's hitter 80 on Oopsie Rice, hitter 87 on Bad X, hitter 107 on depth charts. So that's all a standard deviation of 12. So not, but at that point, well, yeah, so he's a hitter 88 without the adjustment. So that's not a big difference. They're probably just saying that because he didn't play a lot last year, Rice, and he played a lot of time as catcher. That's why it's low. But people are, I kind of expect it too. And that's why Rice's ADP is skyrocketing, is because he's going to be a full time catcher with awesome underlying metrics. So
it
would be such a Yankee move to sign Goldschmidt. But there is hope that if Goldschmidt's playing first, Rice would catch instead, if that came to be. But I'd rather just have Rice play first. Don't mess with him and just leave him be. But that would be very annoying if they signed Goldschmidt. I don't know.
Full agree on that one. Anybody else of interest for you?
Let me look.
Like I said, we could do this all night, but I don't know how many players they want us to go over, because there's a ton that that stand out, especially like the farther down you go. But some make sense. Like, you know, Andrew Vaughn, he's going to be very volatile because he had the big year, but he also platooned the entire month of September, so that does not bode well for the way things stand out. Again, Will Smith, very volatile, Ryan, so keep that in mind. Jack Kags, it's because he's young. It's hard to project young guys. So this might be my first thought, at least. But, yeah, anybody else that's standing out to you?
Yeah, I'll say one last one because I've drafted him a couple times late. Cedric Mullins.
I was just looking at his, yep.
Yeah, so he's hitter 186, which you think that's not relevant, but in a DC or a 15, he's very relevant. He's hitter, this is some bigger numbers. Bad X is hitter 146. Oopsie is 214, and then depth charts is 183. Oopsie hates him because they say he has no power, 11 homers.
That's ridiculous.
And the worst average of the three. The average has been bad for Mullins, but he's basically been around 2020 for the last however many years. And I tend to be in a little bit of a steal deficit by design late in my drafts. I probably shouldn't do it as much in a DC, but that's just how I am. And so Mullins has been a target of mine at that point, like I said, in a couple teams. He went 17-22 last year, 18-33, at homers and steals in 2024. And he was 15-19 the year before that. So he's at least 20 steals, and he's at least 15 homers every year. And then also, too, with Mullins, I remember looking, he is one of the pulled air guys.
Yep.
So I think that's why Oopsie is – and I mentioned this before, how Jordan said that he tried incorporating things like pulled air into his model, but then it made the overall model worse, even though helping some of the guys who are on the extremes. That's probably why it's hurting Mullins. The average is very valid at being a minus 10 weighted average, whereas it's minus 5 for Bad X and minus 8 for depth charts. But I think the power is definitely hurting him too much. So looking at that, I think I'm okay with drafting Mullins still. It's just you got to make sure you can handle the average. And he may even play full time. I think he, based on how he was used last year, Mullins, I think he should be a platoon bat, he's more like a platoon bat, but the Rays, they can't platoon everybody. And he has decent defense, so I think he's a decent pick for power and speed at the end of a draft.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all. His ADP over the last seven days, 307. He is the 180th hitter off the board, so almost in line with the projections at 186. So, you know, Bad X, you're doing well. Depth chart's pretty much in line. Oopsie, not so much. But I like Mullins. I've talked about him with you and others. It's like, even if he platoons, he's put up like 15 to 20 home runs, 15 to 20 steal. Like, he's got 20-20 potential even in a platoon role. He should get most of the playing time there. Johnny DeLuca is a really good defensive outfielder who could see time in the center field and a potential platoon as well. But yeah, in a DC or even a 15, like if you're not an outfielder five, you're not going to get a full-time guy very often. So to get a strong side platoon that's got that kind of power speed, I think it's pretty good. But I've made that feelings known on Mullins quite a bit. I am a fan. All right, Ben, we got one more thing here. John Wilder says, so bad with the Mets last year after getting traded to him, like unplayable bad. Think a fresh start couldn't hurt him. Tough to find those projections that late. Yeah, no, that's very, very true, John. Very savvy player and degenerate drafter with so many of us. So we love that. But all right, Ben, we'll wrap it up there. Always great chatting with you in general, but I love digging into some of these things, seeing where differences can be found, why they're found. Let us kind of discuss it more often and potentially find, you know, some value, perceived values or some perceived not values out there. Final thoughts before we wrap this up, and Ben will be back on Monday to discuss something else with me.
So I have to give you a shout out. It's not related to the show, but the king of catchers himself got Carter Jensen at pick, 221, whatever it was.
Pumped.
Yes. Yeah, I was – so a little backstory. In my DC, in our DC, I took Hunter Goodman, and then I was between – so my plan going in was to take Jensen, which I haven't drafted yet, across my six DCs now, and I really like the underlying skills that he showed last year. And it got to my pick, like past pick 200, and Samuel Basayo was still there. And I had Basayo ahead of Jensen. And I was like, well, I wanted Jensen from the start of the draft, but now that Basayo's here, I can't really take him. I'm like, I wish I didn't take Goodman because I want to take both of them. Yep. But so I'm glad you were able to get Jensen because you were saying how you were just dying for or praying that he would make it back to you.
I was shocked he fell. I'm sitting there watching the board. I'm like, no way. Okay. Because like the two guys ahead of me only have one catcher also. I'm like, one of them's going to take him. Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, done and done. And then it fell. I got him at pick 221. His I always screw it up. Is this that's his max
or his max. Min?
Okay, I was
yeah, the bigger the number is the max, min is lower number.
It's statistics genius over here.
I say max, early and late. I think early and late is more obvious.
That makes more sense to me, yes. His max or late pick over the last 20, according to the ADP tracker, is 229. So I almost got to set it, but I do have the second latest pick, or no, the third latest pick over the last 20 drafts. So it's a good feeling. Might mean absolutely nothing, but it's a good feeling because I was kind of playing catcher chicken just because I go through, and we all do it. We talk about the cliffs and all these things. Okay, I'm not going to overpay now. I'll keep doing this. Like, trust my evaluations and go. And when you get little things like that, they might not pay off, but in the moment, it feels pretty good. So, and Dylan Dingler's still out there. Like, I was cool if I had to take him. Like, I'm a big Dingler fan, but I wanted a Jensen share. I got a Jensen share, and now we celebrate, or I do at least. All right, we'll wrap it up there. Make sure y'all follow Ben on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. Again, we'll be back with you guys Monday. You'll have some more team previews coming at you on Friday and much, much more. My catcher one is Kyle Teal, Paul C., you're asking. But for now, this was Benched with Bubba, episode 823. Catch y'all next time.